This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Well, it's on. As you heard in Bob's news, the Prime Minister visited the Governor General this morning. The writ is dropped. Parliament is dissolved and all the parties are in campaign mode. Frankly, as our listeners well know, they have been for a while. The way things stand now, the Liberals and the Conservatives are in a dead heat in terms of the popular vote, but the Liberal vote is more efficient and would yield more seats. And the polls also show the possibility of a collapse of the NDP, with some surveys showing them actually behind the Greens. But now that the race has begun in earnest, what will change? There's no ballot question as yet. So we'd like to know, what is yours? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now, I'd like to welcome Aleem Kanji, Vice President of Government Relations at Sutherland Corporation, and Bob Richardson, Senior Counsel to National Public Relations. Hey.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Libby. Great to be with you again.
Okay. Great to have you here. So it's finally happened. Is it anticlimactical or is this the real start, Aleem?
You know, you brought up a really interesting point at the outset, Libby, where you said, what will change? And, you know, traditionally, governments are voted out of office. And sometimes when that happens, there is a change mandate that's at play. And I think based on the chatter, the analysis, some of the things that the leaders are talking about, we're not seeing a real mandate for change. And I'll tell you why. And I'll give you an example. Let's quickly go through the slogans for this campaign with the Liberals. Choose forward.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Whatever that means with the Conservatives.
I agree.
It's time for you to get ahead. The NDP, we're in it for you. The Greens, which I think is very clever. Not left, not right, forward, together. And then the
too long.
The People's Party of Canada, that I affectionately term the PP Party, is strong and free. And so when you look at these descriptors, when you look at these slogans, where is the mandate for change?
I agree with you because from some of the conversations that I've had, even people who are a bit fed up with Justin Trudeau, the thinking is, well, is it bad enough for us to get rid of him? Is that an imperative? And what's the alternative?
As a Liberal, I think they're in pretty good shape for this election. You never know until till it actually happens. But it's hard to run on the change platform when the economy is in pretty good shape. Over a million jobs created, hundreds of thousands of people lifted out of poverty. Our numbers compared to other G7 countries are good, so on and so forth. It's infrastructure's getting built across the country, a whole variety of different things. It's tough for the opposition to say it's a disaster, you need change, because people look at what's going on and they go, well, that's not a disaster. So it's a bit of a tough road for the opposition this time out. The government, on the other hand, can't sound arrogant. So they need to be saying, we got a lot more work to do. We made progress in the last 4 years, but we have a lot more work to do. And that's what they need to articulate and outline over the next 40 days.
Now, Bob, I know that you think that the Ford government and Doug Ford is a big problem for the Conservatives here in Ontario. Has anything changed on your view on that?
Well, you know, I don't think so. It has been. I mean, I've talked to a number of Liberal MPs and candidates across Ontario. Ford comes up almost at every second door. And, you know, here in the fall right now, you've got students who are having trouble completing their high school certificates because there's not enough courses available. You've got a university and college students mad over OSAP. You've got hallway healthcare had its worst month in 10 years this past month, and the list goes on. Even the judges yesterday were yelling at them. So, I mean, there's a fairly substantial body of folks out there who've got a gripe with the province. That's not helpful to Andrew Scheer, whether that's fair or not. But, you know, sometimes
you're giving me a promo opportunity. We're going to be talking to Christine Elliott after after this segment, because she did make an announcement. And to be fair, one of the things that she has said that I do agree with is that the huge increase in hallway healthcare, you can't really blame that on them.
You know what?
Previous governments.
I don't think you can blame it. I think the previous government did quite a good job on healthcare, built a lot of new hospitals, hired 7,000 nurses, did a lot of things right. I just think the number of people using the system is outstripping the resources that government has to put into healthcare. It's a big problem.
I think it's fascinating. We've quickly turned to provincial politics,
right?
And you know what I think? It's quite striking.
Another good sign that this is not a big federal election yet.
Well, so far, I mean, here we are, day one, Bob. And but the thing is, really, is I think when you look at things, what's the real opposition here? I think this is going to be Justin Trudeau versus Doug Ford. It will be Justin Trudeau versus Stephen Harper. It'll be Justin Trudeau versus Jason Kenney. And as we saw last night in Manitoba, re-election of another conservative premier. And these people are household names in their respective jurisdictions. Now, I don't think the Liberals got a hope in hell in Alberta. But I do think when you look at the battleground of Ontario, and when you look at places like Quebec and BC in certain pockets, that's where the narrative will be framed. And they will go after the stalwart conservatives that have been there. And that includes the premier in this province, in Doug Ford. And so how does he contrast that? We know that the Queen's Park is not sitting until after the federal election. We know that the premier is not being as active in this as he has been previously, certainly with other provincial campaigns. And so how does that play out? And, you know, we're a year and a bit into the mandate of the Ford government. Will that be on the minds of voters come election day in Ontario, in the battleground, in places like the 905, in Brampton and Mississauga and elsewhere, that could in fact decide this federal election?
You have not mentioned the name of Andrew Scheer as an opponent for Justin Trudeau. So are people going to, I mean, the people say he's not defined, don't know what he stands for. He does not have a huge amount of charisma, let's just say. So is it going to be a personality thing where people look at him versus Justin Trudeau? And of course, Justin Trudeau really came from behind the last time.
Well, you know, I think it's also people need to know more about Andrew Scheer. I think he is a bad leader for the Conservative Party. 82% of us live in urban areas, and this guy doesn't seem to embrace urban or kind of modern values on a woman's right to choose, on issues as it relates to gays and lesbians. He seems out of touch on climate change. You know, you just keep running through these issues. He's like some sort of 1970s sort of extra from the set of Leave It to Beaver. He's homeschooling
his kids.
He's not a big supporter of friggin' public education. That's not exactly a tough one.
Language,
so, you know,
Bob.
You sit there and I'm looking at him, and this is a guy who seems to be out of step. He seems to be out of step with, quite frankly, a lot of modern day conservatives. So I think they've got a real mountain to climb with him as their leader.
The whole issue around credibility and ethics, I think, is something that Andrew Scheer is going to play up. When you look at the SNC-Lavalin affair, when you look at, you know, two inquiries into a sitting prime minister, hasn't happened in Canadian public in the history of our country. Now, does that stick? Does that resonate with the voters? Do things like proportional representation, voter reform abandonment, you know, these are things that the sitting government hasn't done. Do things like balancing the budget in 5 years, as Justin Trudeau promised, that has not materialized, sit on the minds of voters? Part of me thinks when you look at the younger demographic of voters, they don't really care about balancing the budget. I think when you look at older voters, when you look at folks that are perhaps in the category of our listenership, I think they do care about fiscal responsibility a little bit more than some of the younger voters. So that's the sort of stuff that he's going to play up. And I think define himself, you know, Stephen Harper with a smile. We've heard all of the comparisons before that that come about when you talk about Andrew Scheer. How much of that is going to play in? How will he sort of define himself as he crisscrosses the country and tries to form government?
Yeah, but is his personality strong enough?
I'm not so sure. I don't think most people know who he is. I think if we tested that, I think we've seen polls that have tested that. I'm not sure he's as defined as perhaps looking back at the last election. You know, Thomas Mulcair was set to become our prime minister 4 to 5 months out from the election.
Yeah.
And people knew who he was. They knew that, you know, he was handed the reins by Jack Layton. That was known. I'm not sure Andrew Scheer is as known to the extent as other opposition leaders.
I think people are realistic and they're going to sit back and they're going to say, geez, are they getting the big issues right? I think on the economy, they got the big issues right. On trade, I think they got the big issues right. On working with cities and getting stuff built, infrastructure, they've got the big issue right. I think on climate change, they've got the issue right, putting a price on pollution, supporting clean tech. I think that together is pretty good. There was an independent study that said he has completed 92% of his promises. I don't know if that's accurate or not. There are certainly things that he hasn't done. But I think overall on the big issues, he's done a good job and that they merit re-election.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple of other parties in this as well that I think are, you know, pay a little bit of attention to this. When you look at the NDP and what I think has been really a classic downward spiral of a party, again, rewind back 4 years, they were set to form government and, you know, out comes a very charismatic leader that had the charisma, that had the personality and formed a strong majority government. On the contrary, what we've seen with the NDP is a new leader who wasted a lot of time waiting for a seat. He's losing a ton of very experienced MPs. He's hemorrhaging candidates, really, when you look at guys like Nathan Cullen. We saw just last week a whole army of candidates from the NDP move to the Greens.
I thought that was a little overplayed. The numbers, but he, again, he should be in a fight with the Liberals and the Conservatives and not with the Green Party.
And I don't know how it's possible to be a political leader, a national leader of a party, and not visit friggin' New Brunswick for 2 years.
That's the second friggin', Bob.
I know. Yes, but like, I don't know.
Because his bicycle doesn't take him there. That's
you know, it has been an organizational disaster. Yeah. They're still waiting to name 135 candidates. And it's kind of too bad because he himself is not a bad guy. You know, I've met him a couple times and was on a panel with him once before. He's bright. I think he's kind of charismatic. I thought he did a decent job in the Ontario legislature for the NDP.
Didn't translate.
None of that seems to have translated. And I think it's been bad staff, bad advice. He's not sure what his job is. And look, he could still find his sea legs, but boy, have they left it late.
Okay. Let me just give the numbers out again, people, because I am asking what's the ballot question? And that means what are you looking for when it comes down to it? It is a matter of got to get rid of Justin Trudeau, got to get a conservative government. Is there a thing that is going to make up your mind? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. The punditry wisdom about the weakness of the NDP is that that is good for the Liberals.
It is, and it could be, but I'll tell you, we got another party that is making waves. It is great for the Green Party, and we saw those candidates from New Brunswick shift over to the Green Party that are having a very impressive ability to fundraise. And when you look at core NDP issues, you know, things like universal pharmacare and childcare, to the extent that we have it right now, they want to have it even more aggressively in place. We're not really hearing a lot about that from the NDP. And we've got a Green Party I believe, with a lot of momentum. It would not surprise me to see a doubling of seats, perhaps a tripling. Now, keep in mind, they only have a couple of seats in Ottawa, but there's a lot of momentum with progressive voters. Obviously, on the issues of climate change, and you know, if you really look at what the Green Party is doing, it's actually a pretty fiscally responsible vision of the country. So, and when you look at leaders as well, this is a woman with Elizabeth May as having the most experience as a leader, and I think this.
And
could-
she's still a nutter. Sorry, I'm going to disagree.
Okay,
with you
so
on this one.
but here's the thing. So. We had the New Democrats picking a fight with them, saying they were being poached. But in the interim, two bad things. Like, she had eruptions in the Green Party yesterday, I think it was, in Quebec. One of their candidates came out and said, oh, by the way, I'm a separatist. I would like Quebec indépendantiste. Okay, so that's not so good at this time. And then she also said that she wouldn't stand in the way of private members' bills, reopening the abortion debate, no problem. Like, that is not very good for so-called progressive voters.
Well, and there's a wing nut factor with the Greens. And quite frankly, there is one with her. Her whole reaction to the Judy Wilson-Raybould thing, which was, hey, maybe you want to be leader. I'll give you the leadership. Who does that when they're a national leader of a party? I didn't say friggin' there, Libby. But, you know, so there's been a number of they've had a number of opportunities to deal with these issues, and they don't. Her spokesman went out on the national unity thing and said, oh, national unity isn't one of the core issues of the Green Party. Well, I mean, thank you very much for coming out. It's supposed to be a country and it's supposed to be a national party. And I think that wingy stuff like that that really hurts
but
these
But let
guys.
Me point something else out if we're talking about the NDP. So to elect a leader, they need a two-thirds majority. But their platform says, hey, we will break up the country with 50 plus one in Quebec. I think that's a problem, except nobody remembers probably.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
It'll be interesting to see after this election who remains on as leader. And this could be her last hurrah. She could gain a few more seats, but kind of go out and make way for somebody, you know, a little bit less nutty, as Bob refers to, but perhaps take that you know, progressive attitude of the Greens to the next level. I don't expect them, obviously, to form government. In a minority government situation, the NDP and the Green Party could play nicely into a liberal minority and form government. So I think we got to keep our eyes on that as well.
Okay, let's take a couple of calls. We have got Paul in Brampton. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, Libby. Nice to speak to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking for charisma. I'm not looking for nice hair or socks. I want results, and I think the economy is number one. You know, budgets don't balance themselves, as some people have said, but I think it comes down to bread and butter issues. The cost of living in the last 4 years has skyrocketed. Groceries, rent, everything is really high, and most of the people I know are struggling to get by. Now, they may make a decent living, but they're no farther ahead than they were 4 years ago. They're actually struggling to pay for their food and eat and, you know, just pay their bills. So I think that's really what it is, the bread and butter issues to put food on the table and get ahead in life.
So is it time for you to get ahead, or is it the NDP that's in it for you?
The NDP, I heard this morning, is basically going to be giving away everything for free. Well, that means, as a person who works every day, they're going to hit my wallet a lot harder in taxes to pay for their free giveaways. Thank you, Libby.
Okay, thank you. We are starting to run out of time, but I'll take a quick one from Diane in Toronto. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. I think a lot of people are feeling that, you know, we just don't have one candidate that we can say, oh, this person is going to be good for the country, is going to be good for the... We're kind of eliminating everything. Justin Trudeau has proven that he's not fit to govern. He has got to go. And then we have the NDP. socialism is not the answer for this country. It never has been. That's not what this country was built on. Then we have the Green Party. They have a good platform with respect to climate. Wonderful. But we don't know what else they stand for. Elizabeth May has got to come out and talk about some other issues. And that leaves the conservatives. That's all we're left with. And that's where we stand. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, you're very welcome. I thought that was very well put. That was pretty concise and to the point.
Pretty decent lineup. Just to respond to Paul, he said, you know, you want results. Well, in the last 4 years, I would argue we've got results. We've got a lot of trade deals signed. We created a lot of jobs. They lifted people out of poverty. They made progress on climate change. And they've done a heck of a lot on infrastructure and other issues. There are certain things governments can do. I think they move the ball forward on them. Is there more work to do? Yes. Did they make some mistakes? Yeah, they did. But I would say overall, it's been a pretty solid performance.
Okay, Aleem, we only have a few seconds left. So
Really quickly, right? I think when you look at Paul calling from Brampton, this is the sort of suburban swing voter that is in play. He talked about results. He talked about getting ahead. How is it possible, you know, for somebody to feel left out? This is exactly what the conservatives are courting. By the way, I'll end on this because I think it's a fun note. He also talked about the fact that he doesn't care about, he started his call, talked about how he doesn't like and doesn't care about people with nice hair and fancy socks. And by the way, just for your listeners, I have no hair today. I never have hair, by the way. And Bob has no socks, so we'll give him both.
Okay. Well, too bad you're not running for anything. That's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you so much, Aleem Kanji and Bob Richardson.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.